Hello and welcome to a brand new installment of Nintendo News Report for Friday, November 9th, 2018. I'm your host, Donald Terriel. I just want to advise we were hoping to get Neil on tonight, but he is currently on assignment trying to locate the mysterious Best Buy Smash Brothers demo.
Well, I hope he finds it soon because he lives near me, so.
Yeah. and the man will hopefully soon be making his way down to the local Best Buy to settle it and smash with everybody, Justin Brube. Hello, Justin.
Hello, Donald.
All right. So there's quite a bit of things we've been playing here. I don't know which thing I want to hit you with first, Justin, but I hear rumors that you did something that most of us did about 5.5 years ago this week.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Wii Shop channel shutting down soon. So I decided to transfer my Wii stuff to the Wii U after all this time. Let's ship it on over. And it's not a pleasant experience at all. I needed to buy another SD card to get this done. I guess you don't have to, but I wanted everything separately. So I was going to do it Monday, but I'm like, I don't have another SD card. So I had to order SD cards. They're pretty cheap, so it's not that big a deal. I just had to wait. So I started yesterday, which was Thursday. You got to prepare it on the Wii U, put it back in the Wii. It takes forever to do everything, probably because I have a million save files and whatever. Then I got to put it back in the Wii U. That takes another forever. But when I put it back in the Wii U, it couldn't even read the SD card for a while. It was a big mess. I didn't know what to do. I kept popping it in and out. Eventually, it worked. I don't know why. Just got lucky. Everything ended up working. But then you have to go and re-download everything you had on your Wii, on the Wii U's Wii. And I have 16 pages worth of stuff. And the Wii Shop channel is terrible. It's the worst. It's so slow. You have to go through a million menus. By the time it's done, I'm probably going to have to, I think, go through over 1,000 different menus.
My word.
And on top of that, as I'm down, I think I'm on page 5 now of 16. I've been like trying to keep track of it in my head because it keeps them in the same order. So a couple times I've had the download crash. And when that happens, it's like click here to try again. But when you click try again, it just goes to a black screen and you have to pull the plug on the Wii U, like actually pull the plug because the power off, I've held the power button down. It doesn't even shut off that way. And then when I turned it back on one of those times, it said files are corrupted when I went into the Wii section of the Wii U, which is not something you want to see during this process. And that was a scare, but then it started working when I popped the SD card out, tried it again, and then put the SD card back in. And I'm not done, but this is the process I'm going through. It's not fun. It's stupid. And I recommend either you get everything figured out what you want to do with that whole Wii stuff soon, because the Wii Shop channel is closing January 1st. And I guess because of that, we could talk a little bit about that news now if you want to.
Well, yeah, I mean, they announced that last year that the Wii Shop will go down for the count once and for all January 31st of next year. And hey, rest in pieces.
Yeah. But I meant the streaming services will also end on that date on Wii. Also.
Yeah.
Which
good. And I'd like to give a shout out to those of you that are actually watching this on the Nintendo Switch now that that application is available.
Yeah. So what I'm going to tell people, this is for your own digital future. If you have Wii games downloaded on the Wii Shop or Virtual Console or anything, what I recommend doing is whether you have it on Wii or Wii U, it doesn't matter. Move everything to an SD card, all of your channels and everything, and copy the contents of that SD card once you have everything done to your computer. So if the SD card craps out in the future, you can get another SD card, move your stuff on there, and have it still. Mm-hmm. I think that's something everybody needs to do if you want to actually keep those games. think it's important. Yeah, but also, I noticed there were some games that I had that had updates that I didn't know how to get. And but to get an update on a Wii Shop title game, you had to delete the game and then re-download it because they don't have like a patching system built in.
Yeah.
It's all wonderful stuff that I wish I didn't remember, but it all came flooding back to me yesterday. And I'm not done. But that kind of brings me into the next game I want to talk about that I've been playing. WarioWare Gold. This was a great game to play during this horrible process because the micro game element, where you can just stop whenever and it's not that big a deal to stop between micro games. WarioWare Gold, I beat it in one sitting. Just the main story mode.
I was going to say that's one that, as far as I know, like there's 300 games, or is it 100?
I don't know how many micro games there are. There's like a few. I'd have to check. I didn't unlock all of them yet. I'm pretty far along doing that, going back. I think it's a fun game. It's pretty short, though, in the story mode sense. The cutscenes and the voice acting are hilarious. Some awesome Wario stuff in this, as far as that goes. Martinet nails it. It's perfect. I think the game is a lot of fun. It is WarioWare. You get some old stuff, some new stuff, some button games, twist games, and some touchscreen games. So it's like a little bit of everything, which is kind of neat. Unlocking things, not so fun. Not so fun, because it seems like there's a lot of cool gizmos and like mini games to play on the side. You can unlock like a Game & Watch manhole and like a bowling game and other stuff. But to unlock this stuff, it's all due to a random capsule machine type thing.
Yeah, like a gacha system.
Yeah, I don't think you get doubles. I've never gotten a double, and I've opened a ton. It's just, it takes forever to grind out that money from what I could tell. And it's very tedious, and it's a shame because I want to see more of what's in this game, what it has to offer that's fun, instead of just like playing a bunch of stuff that's maybe not so great to unlock it. Like, just keep grinding it out, you know? So that's my complaint about the game right now. I'm probably going to play a little bit more. I also played some Diablo yesterday. I tried that for a bit. I tried Diablo 3 when it first came out on PC, and the game was a horrible mess. It didn't run well, and my computer was like probably mid-tier specs, and I was even running the game low, and it just chugged along. I know that game had a ton of problems when it came out. It's probably somewhat well-documented, but it runs smoothly on Switch. It's like I'm playing Diablo 3 really for the first time now. I didn't get too far on the PC version. And I'm really enjoying the Necromancer class, which they added. You can get a bunch of skeletons and other things to fight with you. It's right up my Ice Climber style of play.
Yeah, I've wanted to get into Diablo. I wonder. I'm thinking maybe that should be like my Christmas gift this year, because I have to start making those calls soon.
Yeah, but I see someone in the chat here, too, is talking about the amiibo scanning for coins. But, yeah, you can only do 3 per day, and that kind of ruins that whole concept. Because I'm like, yeah, I got, like, a ton of amiibo. I can't wait to scan these. I'm like, oh, it's done. So in order to scan all my amiibo, it would probably take months at that rate. So thanks.
Well, it sounds like if you do it 3 a day, you could probably use the same amiibo. Although I have to wonder if you're like, if you're set up where you're scanning it through the box itself will actually work for that.
It does work for that the way I do it. 3DS actually seems to have a better NFC reader than any of the Switch stuff. So it's not much of a problem at all.
Yeah. And I see the one thing behind you there. Why does Urban Champion have an arcade release? Well, I suppose in a way I could see that, but it's only like a 45-second experience most of the time.
I'll explain that from what I understand. I'd have to check to make sure this is 100% accurate, but I think a lot of the NES games came to America first as like these as versus system games, and the reason for that was kind of like a preview / selling point to try and get people into these games, so when the NES did launch, people would be like familiar with what they saw in the arcade and be like, the graphics are just as good as the arcade, like look at the home experience. And people are more familiar with these brands and whatnot, these games. So I think that was the reason for a lot of these versus games existence. Now,
So you ponied up the $35 too much to get Urban Champion on Switch this evening, and
it's $8, $7.99.
Yeah, like I said, still $35 too much.
Yeah, probably in Canada it's $35, but
no, it's $10, but at that point it's like $50 too much.
Yeah, but I mean, I've been getting all of these Nintendo arcade games on Switch because this is the first time the arcade version's been available outside of the arcade, which I think is very cool, and I mean it's a whole Nintendo history thing, and I think it's neat to have that. I think this game does carry the two-player mode over at the test. That it seems like it does. It'd be a huge disappointment if it didn't. I mean, Excite Bike didn't have that, which came in a later release. So who knows? I'll check it out. I'll probably have a review on the site for this game. Probably not going to be too good. Urban Champion isn't a great game. The arcade archive stuff seems to be as good as ever, that whole wrapper. So what can I say about Urban Champion? I feel like I should say something because it's a bad game. For some reason, I enjoy it sometimes. But I don't think anything's going to beat the 3D Classics version where I think like you got titles ranking up or something like that, if I remember.
Yeah, some sense of progression off the 3DS version, although I still recall taking a bullet on that game because the only reason I got it was because we gave it away in the telethon 1 year.
No bullets in this game, I mean.
Nope, just flower pots.
Yeah, flower pots and police cars and manholes. If you've never played Urban Champion, you probably owe it to yourself to suffer at least once. And the one other thing I could say is I do need to compare this more to the NES version to see like the exact differences, because I don't know them off the top of my head because I don't play this game very much. But it may just be better. You may be better off waiting for this game to come to the NES online stuff on Switch, because it's got to, right, Donald?
It's going to come eventually. We just have to accept it.
Yeah, with online multiplayer.
Yes, because that's what that game needs, is online.
It totally needs online multiplayer. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, Rich James in the chat says, it looks like a Double Dragon knockoff. Well, I think it predates Double Dragon by about 3 years. But, there's no... Like it's literally just the brawling sequence that they added to the NES game. There's no single player component to it at all. That isn't just beating up the computer.
Yeah, there's a high score mode with online rankings on the Arcade Archives versions. I don't remember if the NES version had a high score. It probably did, but
I don't recall it being it. But I also played that on a pirate cart. Back in the day.
So that type of thing I need to like look at more, because when I write these reviews, I like to compare it a little bit so people have a better understanding of what this game is and how it differs. So look forward to that on the site when I do a little more research. I've played this game for about a half hour before the show, so I'm not super well-versed in Urban Champion.
Yes. And Livinate asking in the chat room, is Urban Champion on the NES Classic? It is not.
Yeah,
we're all lucky in that regard. All right. So as for what I've been playing this week, aside from something which we'll hopefully be recording a podcast about tomorrow, so they added something interesting to Fire Emblem Heroes in an update this week. Namely, they brought in a combination of the castle mode and in the game's own arena mode, from the castle mode being from Fire Emblem Fates, and they've added it to Heroes, except now you can't cheat it all the time. Because of the fact that it's a cell phone game, so it has a mandatory online connection. And it just opened up. The only problem is you can't get like its own stamina meter, and that recovers partially every day. And we're not gonna get a full refill on that until a week from Monday night. So into Tuesday morning my time. But they have, like, you can set up your own little battlefield with traps and contraptions that buff stats, do damage, stop movement, all that kind of stuff. And throw it at the enemy and see how it goes. And you, and unlike the arena modes in the main game, you can actually see what happens when people attack your castle. So far, I've had, last report, I had one person come in and they kicked my butt. Serves me right for using every cheap trick in the game, I guess. But because they, the main reason to get that is because now they have it set up that you can earn these items that can be traded in for free to play heroes. So I'm about to walk, I'm going to be walking around eventually with a Black Knight at the highest merge possible. And I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, but that's pretty much it for what I've been playing here. And let's go to the news, and we'll, I guess we'll start off with a melancholy happy trails to Mario Segale, the former Nintendo landlord who passed away last week at the ripe old age of 74, at 84. Sorry, my math off a little there. He was the owner of a warehouse in Tukwila, Washington, that Nintendo was using in 1981 for storage of Donkey Kong, and it was at that point that Minoru Arakawa and some of the other Nintendo developers that were in the building at the time renamed the Jumpman character to Mario in honor of their landlord.
Yep, yeah. It's sad to see him go. I mean, he wasn't like a huge part of Nintendo history, but I mean, I guess his name caused a lot of things to happen when you think about it. So,
I wonder if there would be a, like, if Mario would be as, or if Nintendo would be as big as they are now, if it wasn't for the fact they had a recognizable name in the US.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of those things we'll never know, like alternate history.
Yeah. Although he wasn't, I don't think he was like, I'm sure he was flattered, but in the long run, it's like, I think he said in a newspaper interview in like 2015, you could say I'm still waiting for my royalty checks.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know for sure, but I feel like I heard he wasn't too happy about a lot of that stuff, so I don't know.
Yeah. But yeah. Rest in peace, Mario, and thank you. Thank you for lending your name to one of the most iconic things in video games. All right, now on to some other news of the week. We got some interesting statements from Sakurai's Twitter account following up from last week's Smash Direct, in which he basically said two things. A, Nintendo makes the call on who is going to be Smash Brothers DLC, and please stop spamming him.
And they've already picked out the characters. Nintendo has already decided on the characters.
So
no amount of begging will get you the character you want. Leave Sakurai alone.
Never ask him for anything again, as the image posted in our Slack chat earlier said. Yeah. So
DLC is out, and then beg for another season. Am I right?
Yeah. Beg for another season. Beg for another game on Switch 2. However you want to do it. Just. Yeah, you're probably not getting Goku, so save your breath from asking. I'd say the only
next game, save your breath. Don't waste your time with Shrek or Goku or any of that stuff.
Or Waluigi.
No, Waluigi deserves his place at the table.
Waluigi deserves to be blasted off the table. Replace Sandbag with him. But if so, at this point, it doesn't become a question of who do you think Sakurai would pick for Smash Brothers? Is who do you think Nintendo picked for Smash Brothers? And I think we could probably, we penned in a couple of things last week. I think we can upgrade that to a Sharpie now, or some sort of permanent marker, because we're probably getting a Fire Emblem Three Houses character, and there's probably going to be a Gen 8 Pokemon.
And it's probably going to be a sword character, right, guys?
I don't know. The sword character that they've introduced so far in Three Houses seems to be the Mai unit, but they already have two of those, so I wonder if they're going to go with a Axe or Lance character to change it up a bit.
Axe or Lance would be fun. And just please not another sword character from Fire Emblem, please.
Hang on, I just need to ban Pokepal from the chat.
Yeah, I agree. mentioned that on this show.
This is a G-rated show, so I'm not going to say what I really want to right now.
A slime, like we talked about last week, is a good bet for a third party.
A slime stack, maybe Healy.
Maybe like the up smash turns it into the stack, and it kind of like how the piranha plant can get abilities from different piranhas.
Yeah.
Type thing, but yeah, that would be one of my like top betting choices, not one of my personal picks, but like if I had to bet, because Nintendo is always trying to like localize and publish whatever Dragon Quest in the West, so that could maybe help their cause a bit. Like, hey guys, it's in Smash, play their game, please. Dragon Quest Builders 2 coming to Switch, right?
Yeah, Nintendo's publishing that next year, so maybe we get Erdrick or Lodo or one of the great Dragon Quest heroes of yore. Could work for that old school dip. I don't think we're going to get Lara Croft, as is being pointed out in the chat here. Just because, well, when was the last time Lara Croft was on a Nintendo system? Is it 2008 with a Wii game? Or not even that?
Well, when was the last time Cloud was on a Nintendo system?
2014, actually.
Yeah, but...
He was in a pretty big ensemble there, too. It was Theater Rhythm. Curtain Call. And hey, he's coming to Switch next year anyway.
Yeah. Finally.
And no, we're not getting Squall either before anyone asks.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of cool characters, but we talked about them last week, so we don't need to go...
Yeah. and early report, and keep talking about Lara, but early reports on that PlayStation Classic not looking too hot. Not to mention the lineup is kind of eh. Like, if I want to play old PlayStation games on my TV, I'll pony up whatever costs, probably $100 to get a PlayStation TV and just run my Vita stuff through it.
Yeah, I wasn't a big PlayStation person, obviously, back in the day, so that lineup doesn't really excite me on any level.
Yeah, and Rich Simon's already in the game. And Richter too, member Echo Fighter. Yeah. So that's one name we can pick off the list. From other thing from last week is that Nintendo had their half year financial results, and then the always entertaining Q&A session ensued. It's on Nintendo's reporting site. You can probably find that. I think the question that makes me the most confused is like, is there any possibility you could make Nintendo titles like Mario Kart or Super Smash Bros. Available to cross-platform or cross-device play? So Nintendo's having their most successful system on home console in a decade. They're possibly going to outsell the 3DS when it's all said and done, and you're port begging? Like, Nintendo shareholders are... How can I put this without getting us kicked off YouTube? Very interesting people.
I think occasionally some good questions are asked. I didn't look at this Q&A yet, but there always seems to be like some good questions and then like some really horrible questions.
At least nobody's asking about retiring baseball numbers this year. there's a legitimate question here about like what's their strategy for the holiday season? Like, are you sure this is actually going to work?
I'm not saying all the questions are bad, but every once in a while it's like, hey, you guys thinking about putting your games on other systems? Like things like that, and it's like, what?
Like, do you not understand what you're dealing with here?
Do you not understand the strategy this company has?
It's the same strategy that Sony's using, lesser extent Microsoft, because they want to get $10 every month, seemingly, instead of, you know, $40, $50 or $60 for a game every couple. But yeah, they're pretty much doing the same thing. You need to have your own exclusive software to sell hardware, and then you worry about getting things like Fortnite or Dead Cells or whatever on the Switch. Or in the case of the Microsoft and Sony stuff, you get your 100-hour a week horse game.
Yeah, I know we talked about some of this last week, just not the detail of the questions, but I remember we discussed if we think Nintendo is going to hit that hardware number, and I don't know if we talked about... The early January games like New Super Mario Brothers, U Deluxe, and the fitness game, and Smash and Pokemon, how those could all boost sales. But did we talk about how maybe that Mario Kart mobile game could also boost the sales?
I mean, they've only confirmed that it's still coming this fiscal year, but you think they might drop it in March and hope that gives a nice big push to Mario Kart 8 Deluxe sales?
I think they might have to push it a little earlier, but yeah, if I were Nintendo, I would try to get it out early February at the latest, and then have some sort of Mario Kart 8 bundle on the shelves, ready to go.
So just like run back the bundle that they have for Black Friday then?
Yeah, make more of those, and hopefully it drives sales. Get it?
Oh, great. Hang on. Oh, sorry, I'm just having some issues here with some audio pop up there. I'm just gonna have to.
But yeah, that's what I think could also help them hit that number. I think it's still a hard number to hit, but if that Mario Kart mobile game does well, I could see it driving sales to Switch consoles with the bundle.
Yeah, like if you've been out this week, have you seen how well the Smash bundle seems to be doing?
I don't think I saw the Smash bundle when I went to Best Buy. I went to a couple stores. I didn't really see the bundle so much. The Diablo bundle obviously would only be at GameStop. I don't remember seeing it there, but a lot of times they keep that stuff in the back until people ask for it because they're smaller stores. Smash bundle, I don't remember seeing, so I'm guessing that's doing well. But Best Buy had like mountains of the gray and the neon.
Just the right.
Yeah, the regular bundles. They had stacks of those. And I saw a couple Fortnite bundles in Target. So, I mean, they're prepping for big sales as Black Friday, it looks like, because they had a lot of systems in that Best Buy, especially, man. It was ready to go.
Yeah, and Joe mentions he thinks Breath of the Wild, Mario Odyssey, and Mario Kart will drive sales. And yeah, they talk about that. Like, one of their strategy involves, here's these big games. They're still going to be full price, which is how Nintendo can make all kinds of money. But you can get but they keep adding on to it. Like, they're still doing the free updates for Mario Odyssey and Mario Kart. And I think Breath of the Wild's pretty much in wind down at this point, but. I'm pretty sure that expansion pass is still moving.
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah.
Oh, I've also noticed in the stores, a lot of eShop games are just available on prepaid cards. A lot more than there used to be are just sitting there on the stores waiting for people to buy. So I think that's interesting.
Yeah, so like, actually, because I think I saw this similar display at the Best Buy, the closest Best Buy to me here, and then I went into Walmart the other day, and it was in there as well. So I could buy Pokemon Crystal, or I could buy Pokemon Gold, or stuff like Xenoblade 2 in the expansion pass, or Kirby.
Yeah, there's been a lot of those. Those aren't too new, that the first party stuff, but I'm seeing like more. Indie stuff. Like
Dead Cells, Overcooked, that kind of thing?
Yeah, well, even non-retail ones, like eShop exclusive ones right now. I think I saw West of the Loathing and The Messenger.
Nice.
Things like that, just on the shelf. I should have taken a picture, but yeah. So that's getting wider exposure in stores in that way, which I think is very good for these smaller publishers who have well-regarded software.
Yeah, and well, Black Friday is what, 2 weeks from today, so we'll see how the see how effective it is when you're up against like a $200 PS4 with Spider-Man on it.
Yep.
All right. Two other quick news stories here. The NES games for November will be out on Wednesday. That is Twinbee, Solomon's Key, and the original Metroid. So,
don't we already have Solomon's Key?
Oh, sorry. Yeah,
Mighty Bomb Jack.
Mighty Bomb. Right. I get those confused because actually, I think Mighty Bomb Jack is in. I think there's some sort of crossover between the two of those games, which is probably what threw me a bit there. But yeah, so those will be out. Who knows if they're going to have a special version of one of the games this month. Maybe they just give the Justin Bailey code as a save file for Metroid.
If they do something like that with Metroid, I'm kind of thinking it'll come a month later, so you appreciate it more. But also, if it's one line, to the original Metroid, is when you die, you should start back with full health, not 30 health, because then you have to grind out all your energy, which can take forever. If they made that one change to the original Metroid, it would be a much, much better game and probably more highly regarded than it is.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind if they went back and put the Engage Ridley Mother Bleeper, made it so that it just didn't break the game, but I'll give that a spin on this week. But I'm honestly more interested in Twinbee and Mighty Bomb Jack because, like, I've heard good things about Twinbee, and I've read about Mighty Bomb Jack just and like a strategy sense and like those How to Win at Nintendo Games books that were out in the late 80s. But this is the first time I've really had a chance to play it.
Was there a 3D version of Twinbee on the 3DS as part of that 3D Classics collection?
I think so, but I just never got around to playing it, I think. But if it's right there, if it's something I can hop into in between games of ice hockey, that's probably going to work out well. And Twinbee and PokePal saying Twinbee is really good on the 3DS. Yeah, so that would make sense. Because I think that was an Eureka 3D classic. It wasn't one of the like later ones we'd see from the likes of M2.
Yeah, so what I do want to remind people about with the 3D classics is there are some cool ones, but it does change the physics and the feel of the NES game sometimes. So you need to keep that in mind. It's kind of like more remixed than maybe you would think if you've never played the original. I never played the original Twinbee, so I can't really talk on that. But I know the physics for sure were changed in Excitebike, and the feel was a little different. And, of course, Urban Champion was different on that too, which we discussed earlier.
Yeah. Yeah, and that line, it sort of, Nintendo put a few of them out in the first place on 3DS, those 3D classics, and then it sort of died down, and then Sega said, you know what, let's do something with this. We've got a good emulation company, and oh my god, some classics on there from Sega. But that's what Sega Age is for on Switch. Yeah. Another good one there, Pokeball points out, Kirby's Adventure. All right, and the final news story this week is more of a, oh my god, I cannot keep up with all these releases anymore. Normally, the advice is to stay out of November for indie games because the retail releases are going to walk all over you, especially on a Nintendo system with Smash Brothers and Pokemon coming out to over the next 4 weeks. But counting YouTube, admittedly, there were 42 games that came out this week on Nintendo systems, 41 of them on Switch. Like, is that in any way sustainable?
Not right now, I'd say. Could it be sustainable? I think if you had a large enough active user base and if the eShop were done a little differently. The eShop needs a major overhaul.
Yeah, because there's so many indie games that just, they throw themselves either throw themselves on sale like 10% off, just to get on the sales list because that's not as cramped, or they throw it on for like 98% off. I think I saw something. I think there's something on the eShop right now that is like 97-98% off.
Original price like $1 million.
No, like original price is like 10 bucks. It's down to 15 cents.
Yeah, the Switch eShop is not very good. If you had a Wii U and you looked at that eShop, and if you don't have a Wii U or you didn't have one, I'd suggest looking up some videos online of the Wii U eShop, because it is organized much better than the Switch eShop, and I don't understand how they could regress in that area so much.
Yeah, I mean, I get that they wanted to keep it simple, like just have the one section, like the one list to rule them all, and then you have your games on sale, your upcoming releases, and that's it. But like, there needs, like, they definitely need to get some of that organization in there. Like, you can put more things on that sidebar. Just make it a scroll bar if you need, like, put a scroll bar in if you need to.
There's a lot of things that can be done. It's just, I don't understand why they're not doing it, because I feel like if they improved the eShop to the Wii U levels, I think sales would actually go up across the board, and like, not just for Nintendo, because they get a cut of that stuff anyway, obviously, but it would make the third parties, the Nindies, whatever, happier, because it's easier to discover their games. There's a lot of things that can be done, and they're not doing it. It's insanity. It's just burning money, basically, as far as I'm concerned, because the amount they're probably losing by not updating the eShop layout is probably... They could just be making so much more money if they did it, is what I'm just getting at. They're just wasting money by not doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and DSi Shop was awful. And the Wii Shop, as we discussed earlier today, is really bad too. So, yeah.
Yeah, Miles saying the Wii Shopping Channel was the best in terms of content. I could see that if you're like if you were into the retro stuff, but in terms of new original content here, you're not like there were some gems on WiiWare. I'm not going to deny that, but you know the even with 40 games a week on Switch right now, you know the crap ratio was still pretty high on Wii on the Wii too. And honestly, the Wii U, in all honesty. Like, they weren't putting their... People were not putting their best foot forward on the Wii U for obvious reasons. Bloody thing wasn't selling. But, yeah, they need to... If they can jumble that up there. And, I don't know, maybe give some more warning. Like, there was a game that just... Like, Trine just dropped on the eShop today. The original Trine, and they're going to do the rest of the trilogy over the next few months. But like that was, we got word of that at 10 o'clock this morning, my time, and you know, it was on the shop in 3 hours. Like Road Redemption, we're going to have a review of that going up soon. That was unannounced completely until just showed up on the eShop one day.
It's like, yeah, like you said, I don't know why people would be dumping all these games on the eShop right now when it's one of the busiest times of the year for like retail releases that probably are going to dominate news cycles.
Yeah. I mean, sure, we review a lot of stuff on NWR, but like I can pretty much guarantee you we're not going to have reviews of some of the stuff that came out this week. And it's not because some of it might be junk, but we just like, we don't have enough people on staff, and even with some of the people that we brought in as freelancers that can cover all this stuff. Crazy. Cherry Goblin asks, any thoughts on Hajime Tabata leaving Square Enix? For those who haven't heard, the Tabata, who was brought in basically to save what became Final Fantasy 15, has left Square, and aside from one last bit of DLC, they've pretty much canceled all the other stuff that they had announced for FF15. I'm not surprised. I would think that given that Tabata was basically the fixer at Square Enix for so long, I think maybe the pressure just got to him. Yeah, I'm not sure what his role.
So I don't know what he did. I'm not a huge fan of their games. I know they have a huge fan base, and I do feel bad for those people who are looking forward to this, because that would be like the equivalent for me, like Sakurai, like we got four new Smash characters lined up and here's who they are, and then like making one of them be like, eh, nah. See you later.
Yeah, so hey, now we might actually have a final version of Final Fantasy 15, and maybe they can pocket size that and give that away or do something as far as getting that content onto the Switch version.
And what'll happen in like 10 years, they'll like put out like super special edition of Final Fantasy 15 with those missing episodes, so like just make them for that occasion. You know Square Enix, come on.
Well, actually, you may be right. Unless they're squirreling all that away, and then when they inevitably and eventually announce Final Fantasy 16, maybe that content's in there instead, Wind Waker style, or Twilight Princess.
Yeah, but, you never know.
Yeah, but. All right, so with that, that'll bring us to the close here for this week. Thank you very much for watching and listening. Be sure to like, subscribe, hit the bell so you know when we're live, and get notified for all of our other videos here on Nintendo World Report TV, such as a whole group of recent reviews and a very interesting look with the Let's Go games coming out next week. Some locations that Casey Gibson is, among others, is excited to revisit in Let's Go for the first time in HD, and for the first time we've gone to Kanto, I think, since 2010. So definitely check that out. If you want to support the site that supports us, patreon.com/NWR. We do our stuff ad-free because we have the Patreon. And of course you can go to the mothership, NintendoWorldReport.com, full text reviews for as many Switch games as we can actually get through. And the odd 3DS game, yes. Although I don't recall the last 3DS review we actually published here. Let me go check.
And mobile occasionally, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, we got Dragalia. I still am waiting for a release date on that, though. I wonder if that's going to come, if some countries of cracking down on gacha stuff has caused Nintendo to sort of wind that back.
I mean, in any case, if you like Nintendo, you should be following us, checking the website, all that stuff, support the Patreon.
Yeah. And our last 3DS review was Luigi's Mansion. That kind of says it all, doesn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, twitter.com/Nintendo_NWR for the main Twitter feed. You can find Justin on Twitter at KingNintendoFan or on Instagram at KingNintendoFanboy for all your swag and merch needs. All right, and that'll do it for us tonight, and we will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Good night.